You can find inspiring stories almost anywhere. For instance, check out the co-founders of Girls Who Do Interiors. This Miami-based design company was started by three friends when they were still in school. And right from the start, they turned to Chase for Business for everything from banking and payment acceptance to credit cards. And they handled them all in one place with the Chase mobile app. It's so important to have that kind of help when you're just starting out. Learn more at chaseforbusiness.com. Make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Jessica, thank you so much for coming on Other People's Pockets.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So I want to start out with like a little bit of background. Who are you and what are you into?
I always like to start out with, I would not be the person I am today without the relationships in my life, without the mentorships and the friends and the chosen family. In terms of like my interests, you know, I'm someone who just recently discovered her own interests. I used to be one of those people who just devoted everything into a romantic relationship, and I had no interests or hobbies outside said relationship. So now I feel really proud of myself that, you know, I like yoga and reading and crafting and walking. I participate in storytelling competitions, and most recently I tied for first, and that really gave me confidence to think about how, oh, my story matters. People want to hear what I have to say, so why not do this?
I want to hear a little bit more just about your background, like where you grew up, what that looked like, and how you got to where you are now.
So I was born and raised in the Midwest of California. That's a reference to a famous film, Lady Bird. So that's Sacramento, California. A big turning point in my life was when I received a fully funded scholarship to a small liberal arts college on the East Coast. So making that move, that was my first time on a plane. That was my first time leaving Sacramento, my first time leaving the state, my first time seeing snow. So a lot of firsts for me. And of course, I experienced the usual culture shock. And at the time, I didn't know that was culture shock. And in college, that's when I started developing these mentorships and deep friendships. And all my life, my mother told me that you shouldn't trust anyone that's not in the family. They're just looking to take advantage of you. To some extent, I understand that she's coming from a really survivalist immigrant mindset. So leaving my bubble and meeting other people who helped me and were nice to me and did kind gestures, they did it out of the goodness of their heart, and they didn't expect anything in return. Like when I needed a place to stay when the dorms closed and I didn't want to go back to California, I asked friends, I asked professors, I asked the woman I nannied for, and they all opened up their homes to me. And that was confirmation that no, relationships are not as transactional as some people believe.
Where did your parents immigrate from?
From Hong Kong.
And did you feel like there was ways of looking at money, ways of looking at familial relations and how you depend on other people that was formed by country of origin and your culture? Like, did you feel like you basically had to rethink and rewrite all the kind of whatever rules you had in your mind once you got to college and started developing these other relationships outside of your family of origin?
You know, that's a good question. Like, I remember my friend and I, we went to a conference. It was put on by the scholarship organization that we were both part of, and they were student-run sessions. And one session was what to do when you realize you are your parents' retirement fund. And I thought the session was going to go into, like, you know, the emotional implications of a realization like that. But the takeaway from that session was kind of like, just make more money.
Right. Like, don't question that this is the facts. Like, just here's how you're going to afford it.
Yeah.
So what do you do now for work? And, like, how do you support yourself?
Yeah. So my career, I'm a career changer. I worked in early education for several years. Then I pivoted to nonprofit work, and now I'm in higher education. Specifically, I work in enrollment management.
And how old are you?
29.
So one of the things that you mentioned to me is that you are not in touch with your family of origin, and that has a lot of personal finance implications. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. So I do think that I put myself at a financial disadvantage because I choose to not have a relationship with my family of origin. However, my chosen family has stepped up. So I think it's important to really think about, as individuals, who we want in our lives and how they best serve us. So I felt like my family of origin wasn't serving me emotionally. That's why I chose not to have contact with them. And I know I'm putting myself at a financial disadvantage. There's also the piece where even if we did have a relationship, they don't have money to begin with, because I'm one of the many, many Americans who grew up low income, and I still feel like I'm in the same socioeconomic class, broadly speaking.
So why did you decide to sever ties with your family of origin?
Yeah, so their judgments and criticisms and constant negativity was really taking a toll on my mental health. Like, if you were to describe someone who always puts you down and is constantly criticizing you, would you want that person in your life? And why does it change if this person is like a parental figure? I don't think it shouldn't. So
that makes sense. Is it possible to talk a little bit more about growing up in your family and kind of how money played into the home you grew up in?
Yeah. So in my own research, and when I say research, I mean Googling. I'm not a psychologist by any means, but I learned that there's like substance use disorders, and then there's like process addictions. So like process addictions, it's like being addicted to shopping or video games. And in my father's case, he was a compulsive gambler. That was my whole childhood memory of him and the stress and tension in the house. You know, he was the only working parent. My mother was a stay-at-home mom. So
what did your dad do for a living?
We say handyman. So I guess like he's a private contractor. So like small business owner. During tax season, he filed as a small business. So like the money he brings in, well, my mom just says like, oh, he'll gamble it away. Like, that's why we don't have gas in the car, because we can't afford it. Or like, that's why you can't go on this field trip because we can't afford it. Your father just throws all the money away. And, you know, at that time, I didn't know about things like you can request a fee waiver. You can request, like, additional funds. And, like, you know, I was a former teacher and now I work in higher ed administration. People ask for exceptions and waivers and help all the time. But I wasn't taught that. So, yeah, you know, rejection day in and day out. We can't have that thing because we don't have the money. Why do we not have money? Because your dad is a irresponsible, bad human.
And do you think it's true that if he hadn't gambled the money away, then you guys would have been fine? Or
you know, that's a good question. I don't know. Like, yeah, I remember during AP test season, it was possible to get a waiver for the AP exam. Oh, there's fees for everything. Mm-hmm. And to get the waiver, you had to show the guidance counselor a copy of your tax returns. And I remember the number on the tax return, it was $10,000. And now,
for the whole year.
So like, how did we do it? And back then, like, we weren't on any benefits. So yeah, can a family of four live off of $10,000 a year in 2003? I don't know.
As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet. But you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is Accelerating Innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now. Musora is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of Musora, to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to Musora.com, Musora.com, to start a new musical journey today.
And speaking of how there's a cost for everything, even in high school, like taking an AP exam, I remember prom and any of those kind of school functions. I don't know if you went to prom, but I remember we had to pay for just social gatherings that anybody would at least want the option to go to. Do you remember having to pay for prom and stuff like that?
You know, that's a good question. There's some quintessential high school experience, like kid experiences, that I felt like I was not allowed to do. We couldn't afford it. But you know what's great about being a grown-up? I can do these things. My mom never put me in organized activities. She said we couldn't afford it. And there's also that like added cost of transportation. If there's no gas in the car, then she can't drive me. So, you know, next month I signed up for adult tumbling. And then
what's that?
It's like gymnastics classes for adults. So when I went to college, there was like a horseback riding club and it was really subsidized. And I'm like, I'm going to try that. So I think at the time there was like resentment, but I felt like I rationalized it by thinking, oh, I understand. We just can't afford it. So I can't do this thing. But now I live less in resentment and more of the line of thinking that life is long. I can do it as an adult.
You mentioned being the kind of person who would throw like your whole self into a romantic relationship and not necessarily have a lot of hobbies or a lot of other identities on the outside. How did that impact your financial outlook and how have you kind of moved on from that?
See, I also wasn't the type of person who I never want to feel like I would have to financially rely on someone, like how I saw my mother, because she didn't work until, I don't know, until I was in like eighth grade. And right now she's still working as a school cafeteria worker. I think she makes like $17 an hour. So even when I was putting all my emotional eggs in one basket, I wasn't putting all my financial eggs in one basket. So I wasn't like constantly spending money to get this person to like stay with me and love me. I wasn't insisting that my romantic partner pay for me. I guess the best example was I was so afraid to get into debt that I just tolerated a relationship that wasn't working.
Right.
Because I had a really high credit limit, but I just didn't want to get into the debt.
Right. And then now you are in debt, but you're like,
and I feel
free. Seems like you're way happier. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. You mentioned that you work at a university and also you used to be a teacher and you would see that people actually ask for waivers and ask to take advantage of various programs there are. Has it opened your eyes to what you can ask for and get if you are a squeaky wheel?
Yes. So the short answer is yes. When I was a teacher, it took a lot of practice. I just had to keep on doing it. But every time I went somewhere, do you offer discounts for teachers? And now that I work for a university, like I checked out this microphone from the university library. And I used to be more on the student-facing side. So like the emails I would get from applicants, the applicants' parents, even one time, an applicant's partner just being very demanding and persistent. And then I realized it never hurts to ask. Like for my current position, a range was listed, and then I was offered the very end of the range. And then I asked if the salary was negotiable, and then I was given $28.50. So, like, even though the amount was really small, the confidence that it instilled in me, you know, you can't put a number on that.
I was wondering if you can talk a little bit more about all of the little everyday things that people might not think about that are really different when you don't have your family of origin to rely on at all. So like renting an apartment, affording the first and last months and security deposit, or even just the safety net of knowing that if shit hits the fan in life, you always have this other home that you can go stay at whenever you want for however long. What are some of the kind of day-to-day things that fall apart a little bit when you don't have your family of origin to rely on?
So I feel like there's this sort of financial enmeshment. I'm going to make that term up. This financial enmeshment between adult children and their adult parents that's taken for granted and not really talked about. Just to be clear, I have my chosen family. So if like shit hits the fan, then I'll stay with my best friend. My other friend will lend me money. So I feel very fortunate to have that. But just from like everyday conversation from like friends, acquaintances, coworkers, like when I pay my mom back, I'm going to do this. Or, I was booted and towed the other day. I got to ask my dad for money. Or like just being on like a phone plan with your family, or like I'm watching TV with a friend and they log into their streaming account and I see like mom, dad, sibling, they're all on the same streaming account. Or even like every time I log into my credit card account, there's an advertisement for like add an authorized user. And like, you know, that's built in, I think, for adult children to establish credit by being an authorized user on their parents' credit card. And what got me thinking about this was when someone posted in a first generation low income Facebook group that I'm part of. She was a researcher at a local university sharing how I'm doing a study about adult children and their financial relationship with their parents. And I would really love more low income voices. And I thought, I want to do this. That's me. And then in the pre-screening, there was a list of questions. Like you answer yes, no. And I wrote some of the questions down. Like my parents helped me pay for my tuition. My parents took out loans on my behalf. My parents currently pay my phone bill. My parents give me money for living expenses. My parents have paid for my travel to visit them. And there was one example of the reverse situation where you answer yes, no, I have given my parents money because of financial need.
Yeah. And so it sounds like that survey and those questions laying it out kind of illuminated for you like, oh, wow, there is this whole host of things that a lot of people experience that I don't.
Yes. Just seeing it out, like I've definitely felt it, but I couldn't name it.
Right. And I'm also thinking about like, say, like you aren't in touch with your family of origin, but maybe you haven't yet built up this whole network and the safety net of other friends. And then you need something like you're living with someone and you break up with them. And
you know what, Maya, that example you used, classic example, right? You break up with a partner and what happens? Well, that happened to me. Left a relationship, a house and a career all in one go. And that was like 2 or 3 years ago. And what my ex did, we both left the apartment. We both lost the deposit. So he moved in with his sister. And I crowdsourced and fundraised. I put my payment handles on Facebook. And I was able to make first, last, and deposit on a new apartment from the donations and generosities of people I knew personally. And you know, we believe in like equity, not equality. So they said they were happy to lend me the money, give me the money. They just want to see me like out of this place. So that really confirmed that when I'm down, my support network has me.
How? What is it like to ask for help like that?
It's a learned skill, asking for help.
Say more.
I don't really see much representation, or I didn't have much representation of one, people being vulnerable about their financial need growing up, and two, others directly asking for money. And then I realized sometimes the ask doesn't have to be monetary. Like when I was moving into this new apartment, I don't drive. So my friends who do have access to a car can put down a license to rent a car. You know, that's how they were able to help me. And just doing it over and over again and being met with positivity, it reaffirms that like, no, I'm not a burden. No, it's not too much. Like everything that, you know, I was kind of taught in childhood, like don't share your struggle. Don't ask for help.
Isolated.
Yeah. Like, or isolated within the nuclear family, right? It's okay to ask family for help, but not anybody outside of blood.
As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet. But you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Musora is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of Musora, to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to musora.com, M-U-S-O-R-A.com, to start a new musical journey today.
Do you have any advice on if people need to ask for help, this is how you do it, or this is how you think about it differently so you can feel good doing it?
Yeah. So the concept of like evidence binder, and this is something that my friend told me that she learned from her therapist. Like, you are trying to do something hard. Think about the last time you did that hard thing. You did it, and how did you feel about it? So, like, a recent example is I had to take my cat to the vet, and I don't drive, and I felt uncomfortable taking public transportation or doing a ride share with a stranger with my most precious animals with me. So I asked my friend to take time off work and drive me to the vet. And initially I was thinking, wow, that's asking for like a lot and traffic's going to be so bad. And like, she's not allowed in the exam room anyway, so she'll just be like waiting for me. But then I thought back about the last time she gave me a ride, she was really happy to like chat on the way over. And she has cats herself. She loves cats. She's happy to do it for me. When people say happy to help, believe them, because they are.
So how much money do you make now?
So I make $28.50 an hour. So I'm an hourly employee at my university. And I'm not working 40 hours. It's more like 35 hours because I get unpaid lunch. So that equals out to around $50,000 a year. And to be honest, this is the most money I've ever made.
Do you have any savings?
No, there's pretty much only like $1,000 to $2,000 in my account at any given time.
Do you have debt?
Yes. Since my breakup, I accumulated quite a bit of debt. And I think, unfortunately, I was in that relationship for how many years longer than I should have been because, you know, I was making $12 an hour at that time. He was making like $13 an hour at that time. And like, yeah, we were both struggling, but because of like splitting expenses and he had a car, you know, it just was easier to stay together and mm-hmm. tolerate what was not working until I could tolerate no more. So I did take that financial hit and I did get into debt. But being in debt, I realized it's not the end of the world. I'm still happy and fulfilled and living life. And it's not a death sentence like I mm-hmm. thought slash mm-hmm. feared, because I was taught mm-hmm. being in debt was a death sentence.
And it's like a moral failing.
Yeah.
Like shame on you for even. Yeah. How much debt do you have?
32,000.
And that's just in the last like 2 years, you said?
Yeah.
Is it related to living expenses or just like life, whatever random stuff that you put on a credit card?
I think it's both. So all my debt is credit card debt, because as I mentioned, I got the fully funded scholarship to college and, you know, I graduated debt free and I was really proud of that. But at the mm-hmm. same time, because of what I was making in those positions after graduating, I couldn't save.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One of the apartments I lived in, you could pay rent on a credit card. So that's what I did.
That's so rare, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that I've heard of that.
I think it was like one of those property management portal mm. systems. And mm-hmm. also, unfortunately, if you pay with a card, they take like 3%.
You talked about how before you broke up, you probably should have left the relationship, but you didn't for a while because it was convenient and, mm-hmm. you know, you can have shared finances. And I think that there's a lot of people that get into that scenario where it's harder to uproot your entire life than it is to leave. Do you have any advice for anyone who's in that scenario where money is part of the reason why they're staying in a relationship that maybe they shouldn't be in?
So what really spurred the breakup was my friend sent me an article about relationship anarchy. And for those of us who don't know what relationship anarchy is, it's a term coined by I think she's Swedish. Her name is Andy Norgren. But relationship anarchy, from my understanding and in my own words, is the idea that we should look at relationships based on the relationships themselves and not the title of the relationship. Like, oh, you have to put an emergency contact. I'm going to put my mom. Why are you putting your mom? Is it just because she's your mom, or will she actually like show up and be there for you? So it's less significance on like the title and more on like the day-to-day interactions of said relationship. So my advice for people who may feel that they're in a unfulfilling relationship of any sort, whether that be with biological family, whether that be with romantic partner that you're living with, my advice is to really like open up and think about and broaden the perception of family. Like, I'm one of those people who firmly believes that platonic love is real love. Like, I don't think romantic love should be placed on like a higher rung than platonic love. So mm-hmm. part of the reason why that relationship failed, it was like a 4-year relationship, was like, I like this person likes me back, let's move in together. And it's only been 6 months. Do you really know someone after 6 months? Because I was really hurting from all this childhood PTSD from my family of origin, that I was seeking unconditional love from like the first person who showed me any sort of affection. But then once I broadened my definition of love, I realized I'm loved in so many ways and so many people have my back.
Yeah, when you're talking about that, I was thinking about this idea of unconditional love and loving kindness, basically, and how romantic love can be more likely to turn into conditional love because of attachment, because you want something from someone and you get jealous and you, it's sort of like, I love you as long as you stay the person that you were when I met you. You know, like all these things can happen so much more easily with romantic love. But actually, unconditional love is more like, I just love you no matter what. It's more pure. It's more kind of sweet. And I feel like that can sometimes be more possible with platonic love or with somebody that you're not so like enmeshed with and living with, and you have all these like resentments and memories. It's like that can actually make it more complicated.
You can be loved for just existing, for just being who you are. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to produce anything.
It's not transactional. Mm-hmm. And like we live in such a transactional society where everything is bought and sold. And yeah, it is nice to find people where it's just, you're just you. You're already enough. You were talking about relationship anarchy, and I want to hear more about that and how that has influenced how you make friends, how you seek partners, like how you even think about love and connection in your life.
So one thing I haven't mentioned is that I came into relationship anarchy around the same time that I came into non-monogamy, like the practice of polyamory, having multiple loving relationships simultaneously. And I do identify as queer because I put polyamory under the queer umbrella. So I think there's this idea that exists that we should value romantic partners, especially like spouses, above all other types of relationships. And, you know, I'm currently in a relationship. It's a non-monogamous relationship. And from the beginning, I knew we had different goals. Like, he wants children. I love children, but I do not want to bear or birth any children of my own. He can have children with someone else. And if deemed appropriate, the child can be in my life as well. And I can be in their child's life. So there's this like set of expectations or milestones, as you may call it, like dating, being exclusive, cohabitation, merging finances. And these are all steps in what's called the relationship escalator. And like once I realized that I can step off the relationship escalator and I can kind of do a do-it-yourself relationship. Like, my relationships, it doesn't have to look like what's presented in the media or what was presented to me growing up. Relationships are very customizable. Like, my partner and I, we have never done an overnight, but that doesn't mean he's any less committed to me or I'm less committed to him. We offer a lot of support and love and reassurance and positivity in each other's life. And he has other partners, you know, and he does the same for them.
How long have you guys been together?
I said in a Facebook post that I've been happier in 16 months in a non-monogamous relationship than 16 years in monogamous relationships. So letting go of the idea that relationships have to center on the monogamous nuclear family, that was very freeing to me. One of my best friends, she's unpartnered. She doesn't have children. She's a woman in her late 30s. And one of her long-term goals is to own a house and rent part of it out as like a artist residency. And I love that goal. Another friend in my life, she lives with her best friend. These are two straight women who live together and they do life together. So yeah, when I stepped off the relationship escalator, when I came out as non-monogamous, when I started practicing relationship anarchy, I felt like that's really deepened my relationships, especially my friendships.
What do you indulge in financially?
I love supporting like other artists and creatives. Like a goal of mine is to have everything I own be like handmade or used or secondhand. I'm in all these like free Facebook
buy nothing groups
on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I live in a very walkable city. There's free boxes all the time. And I also recently had a half birthday party. And did it hurt to spend $100 on food? Yes. But I was supporting a small API-owned business. And, you know, another guest on your show, Ingrid, she was the founder of the New Savant. I'm like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Ingrid Nilsson.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Supporting a queer API small business. I bought candles from her. So,
wait, after you heard the episode or,
after I heard the episode. So like my long-term financial goal is I just want to be able to live according to my values of like giving back and supporting creatives and, you know, paying it forward. My friends have helped me out so much financially and, you know, I want to do the same for them or for other people. Yeah. Being able to live according to my values, but not feeling like I'm being set back financially.
Jessica, this was really great. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Oh, thank you. It was fun. And thanks for picking me out of thousands of people who make 50K. I'm just one of thousands.
Yeah, well, it was great to have you on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.